Verse 5, I want to title this, Things Not Understood Unwillingly. Let me say that again. Things not understood unwillingly. There's two kinds of ignorance. There's a willing ignorance, and there's an unwilling ignorance. But 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 5. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water, and in the water. There is a willing ignorance, and there is an unwilling ignorance. 2 Peter 3, 5, for this they willingly are ignorant of. That seems strange. Why would anybody be willingly ignorant? If there's a willing ignorance, then there's an unwilling ignorance. An example, I think, of an unwilling ignorance is found in the Gospel of Luke. Let's turn there, please. Luke chapter 2. And it is the story of Mary and Joseph and how they weren't traveling with their son. In verse 41, now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintance. If that happened to me, I'd have just had a nervous breakdown. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple. Can you imagine missing your child for 3 days, not knowing where he's at? And it came to pass, after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. I believe this is, if I may say, an example of an unwilling ignorance. There are a lot of spurious gospels or gospels that have been written that did not and should not have been put into the sacred canon. These Gospels are full of stories. Most of them are absurd about the infancy of Christ, They're called Gnostic Gospels. I've read some of them. Jesus curses a boy. He was going down the street and they rubbed shoulders and Jesus didn't like him, so he cursed him and he died. One of them has Jesus down by the river making clay pigeons. And then he spoke and the pigeons came alive and flew off. Ridiculous things that should not and were not put in the sacred canon of the 66 books. I believe that this story that we read perhaps was shared from the mother of Jesus to Luke, the author of the book. And as she tells the story, I can't help but think that she's wanting to make sure that her son, she gives the impression and tells Luke, but he was a good son. Remember, Jesus is the one who said there was no sin found in him. And even though she tells this story, she perhaps tells Luke, and by the Holy Spirit he writes down, and we find that, and it says they didn't understand, but he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. So he was not a child that was disobedient. He was subject to them. And the mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And it says that Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. I believe myself personally that Jesus had a consciousness of his sonship of his Father. And we know that I believe the Father revealed to the Son as the Father felt necessary for the child, because it says he grew or he increased. He didn't have it all. He increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. So the answer that Jesus gave to his parents after they've sought for him, sorrowing for 3 days, it seems to indicate him saying, if you would have looked for me first in the temple, you would have found me. And don't you know that I must be about my Father's business? Jesus said, he uses this word must. When he spoke to Nicodemus, he said, you must be born again. But Jesus had his must, and he knew that he must be about his Father's business. And he went down to Nazareth and was subject to them. And that is all that we are told for the 18 years from then until he started his ministry with John the Baptist. I gather that his parents had an unwilling ignorance. They did suffer, as I want to bring out another passage of Scripture. And they did sorrow. And but their will was good. They did not have ill will. They had good will. Unlike the passage of Scripture that we read, and I want to refer back to it, in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 5, for this they willingly are ignorant. I don't believe that his parents were willingly ignorant. And so there are two kinds of ignorance. There is the ignorance that the will is responsible. And then there is the will that is right, but ignorant still the same. Luke 2:48 says, and when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said, son, why have thou dealt with us? Behold, thy mother and thy father have sought thee sorrowing. There is a willful ignorance, and there is an ignorance that I believe that you're not responsible for. And the treatment that God has for each is different. I have contended, and I have believed this from the scriptures, that salvation requires two things. And I've said this often. In order for salvation to be biblical, one, there must be a willingness. And number two, there must be a believing. You can have one without the other, and it will not work. You must have the willingness, and you must have the believing on the Son of God. Believing is important. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. But being willing is also important. I've used the illustration in the past, is just as an airplane needs an engine and the proper shape of the plane to get off the ground. One alone will not give you liftoff. You can have the right shape of the plane and the wings, etc., but if you don't have an engine, you're not getting off the ground. You can have an engine, but if you don't have the plane that it goes in, you don't get liftoff. Maybe a crude illustration, but it's the best I could come up with. But according to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 5, we find something very interesting. He says, "For this they willingly are ignorant." What is the willing ignorance the scripture speaks of? Because it reveals to us that our will plays a big part in our salvation. If the will is wrong, then what follows the will can be wrong also. And we are seeing, and I have said, that it is a dangerous thing that salvation is only limited to believing. If salvation is only offered and only the believing is addressed, but not the willingness and the surrender, we have a birth that is not healthy, if it is a birth at all. And so when Jesus ministered, he not only addressed to give you information that you might believe, but Jesus also addressed the will of the person he was speaking to. The woman at the well, Jesus knew her problem, or her challenge, shall I say, was not the will. It was for her to believe on him. She already had a willingness, because Jesus said to her, "If thou knewest, thou wouldest." So he knew her will was already ready to do what was right. In fact, he said, "If you knew, you would." And so Jesus didn't spend time addressing her will. He spent time revealing himself and showing himself to her that she might believe. And when she had the revelations that he gave, why, she was so excited, she took off immediately and left her water pot, because her will was already surrendered, or wanting to do the right thing. And it is the right thing when you have the Lord revealed to you to surrender or to yield to him. However, when you come to the rich young ruler, his challenge was not believing. He wanted to join up with Jesus. For he said, "Man, you're doing miracles." And when you find that conversation, Jesus didn't speak to him and try to reveal his divinity and that he was the Son of God. That wasn't where he was lacking. The rich young ruler was lacking in a surrendered will. And when Jesus knew that his money or his riches had him and he didn't have the money, and that he had a hang up with money, and Jesus knew that, he doesn't tell everybody this, but he said, "If you want to follow me, you believe in me, that's okay, but if you want to follow me, then you need to sell what you have and give to the poor." His will wasn't willing to do so, and it said he went away sorrowful. when Jesus was dealing with Paul the Apostle. His challenge was not his will. He was already trying to do the right thing. He was already, though he was wrong, he was trying to follow God the best he could. He said concerning the law, later after his conversion, he said concerning the law, he said, I was blameless. And he said, I had more zeal than you all. So his will was engaged. It was surrendered. It was trying to do the right thing. But when he got knocked down on that day, and he said, Who art thou, Lord? And I think he knew, but he said, I'm Jesus of whom thou persecutest. And notice Paul says, uh-oh. And he said, What wilt thou have me to do? You see, his will was already, it was okay. He wasn't having a problem surrendering. But now that he's revealed that Jesus is divinity, his challenge was to believe on the Son of God, and Paul did so. So knowing there is both a believing and a willingness that is necessary for salvation to be complete. Now, in order for the believing to work, they need to hear in order to believe. And how often, though, when someone is being told about the Lord, they already know, but they reject what is being told. And I'm dealing with people that have already heard, and they know it, but they're not willing to surrender and to do what the Lord said. Another example would be the prodigal son. His challenge was not believing. He knew his father. He knew back home. His challenge was his will. His will was not surrendered to the authority of his father. And so that was why the prodigal son, it said when he came to himself, he said, I will arise. Ah, salvation gets complete when you have the believing accompanied with the surrendered will. And that's why I concentrate often on me, and I would encourage you also to continually check your will and to check your believing. And may they both be in agreement with the Scriptures. Let me give you some examples of some, what I term, and as he writes in 2 Peter 3:5, for they willingly are ignorant. You mean someone could be willingly ignorant? Yes. Let me give you passages of Scriptures that address this. In Job chapter 21, verse 14, we find these words. Therefore they say unto God, Depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. Why would one do that? Why would one say, I don't want to hear about it? Ever meet anybody like that? That's not surrendered? They don't want to hear it. The Bible says in another place, they don't come to the light, who is the light, because their deeds are evil, and therefore they don't want to. They love darkness rather than light. And so we find a ignorance that is willingly and an ignorance that is unwilling. A child at school, a parent that knows that child, after reading the report card, may say to the child, you should have had better grades. Someone that doesn't know the child may make the comment, now that's not true. This child did the best he could. But my father said to me, I know you, Dennis, and I know how you don't pay attention, and I know how you cut up, and I know how you don't do the homework, and so these grades are unacceptable. And my father was right. I did flunk some tests, but it was a willing ignorance, not an unwilling ignorance. And so a parent not willing to accept, and we're living in a time where no pressure or responsibility is put upon the child. And, it's leave the child alone. It's not his fault. Now, that may be true in some cases, but in many cases, it's There's the old expression that says, there are none so blind as those that will not see. And there is a willing ignorance. I could have had better grades, but I was too much of a cut-up. And so when it came time for my dad to challenge me to do better, there was always my aunt, and I won't say it, else they hear, that would say, oh, leave little Dennis alone. He just did the best he could, and me, oh, I love that sympathy. I can't help it. I'm telling you, I could have done better. But we don't like to deal with foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction drives it far from him. Here's another passage that deals with willing ignorance. Zechariah chapter 7, verse 11. We read these words, but they refused to hearken and pulled away the shoulder and stopped their ears that they should not hear. Do you remember when Stephen was being stoned? They didn't like to hear what they did, and they gnashed upon him, and they closed their ears. We don't want to hear it. Zechariah 7:12 says, yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts has sent in his spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. Matthew 13:15, Jesus said, for this people's heart is waxed gross or hard, and their ears are dull of hearing. Oh, we've heard that before. And their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should be converted, and I should heal them. A willing ignorance. Paul addresses it with these words in Romans chapter 1, verse 28. He says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. I don't like hearing that stuff. How many know the world, or even backsliders, don't like to hear about their sinful nature? They don't like to hear about God's commandments. They don't like to hear certain things, and so they said, don't give me that stuff. Listen, true children of God love to hear the word of God. True people want, yes, they agree. And so Paul says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. And then our text in 2 Peter 3:5, for this they willingly are ignorant, that by the word of God the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. There is what I call an innocent ignorance, which is dealt with by God differently than a willful, guilty ignorance. And this is why the scripture says in another place, to whom much is given, much shall be required. We'll look at that in a little bit. Joseph and Mary, I believe, had good wills. I believe they were good parents. I don't believe the Lord gave Jesus to Mary because she wouldn't be a good mother. I think he gave it to her, and when he said, thou art highly favored among women. And I don't believe this was a willing ignorance that Joseph and Mary had, but they still suffered nonetheless. It falls into this a different category of a willing ignorance. They were ignorant, but they were not willing to be ignorant. And there's a big difference, and God treats both differently. Other examples of an unwilling ignorance are things we don't know, not because we don't have a willingness to know, we just don't know. Mary and Joseph, and I've often used the illustration of Abimelech, who had his servants bring Sarah, and he was ready to take her as one of his wives when the Lord came to him and said, if you touch her, you're a dead man. And he said, I didn't know she was married. I did this in the innocency of my heart. And God said, I know it. I know you didn't know, but that's why I'm coming to you. I believe that the woman at the well had a unwilling ignorance. She didn't know Christ was the Messiah. And when Jesus, that's why Jesus said, if thou knewest who it is that's talking to him, you would say unto him, give me a drink, and he would give you that drink. It reminds me of the illustration that I've used of the little boy. A mother and father went into a restaurant, had two children, and the father, as they sat down, the little boy was restless, and he asked if he could go outside and play. And the father said to the son, yes, but stay off the bank. Don't get on the bank. And the little boy looked at him and went outside, and it wasn't but about 5 minutes, a security guard came in and said, sir, your son was on the bank. It was a little knoll where they had planted fresh grass. It wasn't roped off. It just said, stay off the bank. And the father took the little child and was whether to discipline him and lay hands on him, but not to receive the Holy Ghost. And the little boy said, Father, what's a bank? He thought a bank was a place where you put money. And so I would call that an unwilling ignorance. And God knows the difference. And depending on what kind of ignorance we have determines how God will deal with us. Let's look at some other cases. In Judges chapter 2, verse 10, we read these words. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. Why? Why didn't this generation? Why didn't they know the Lord? Who's responsible for them not knowing the Lord? Maybe both. Maybe both the parents, whose responsibility it was to pass it on. Or maybe the children themselves that just said, no, don't want to follow. In Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 22, speaking of a willing ignorance. Jeremiah 4:22. Jeremiah writes and cries out, for my people is foolish. That means rebellious. They have not known me. They are sottish children, and they have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge. It's amazing how you can have a passion to know bad, but you have no passion to know good, and God is good. Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 7, he repeats himself. He said, yea, the stork in the heaven knoweth her appointed times, and the turtle and the crane and the swallow observe the time of their coming. But my people know not the judgment of the Lord. Why? Because they've closed their ears. I don't want to hear it. Don't bother me with that stuff. You know, I've listened to that kind of thought or preaching that addresses this ignorance. And sometimes I've heard people address this type of willing ignorance with a ignorant compassion. I say ignorant compassion because, oh, it's not their fault they don't know. Oh, they don't know. My people lack of knowledge. Yes. But it is a willing or an unwilling. And thus they conclude, in order for them to get converted, they just need better teaching. They just need more understanding. No, that often isn't the case. They won't even receive the understanding that is given them, let alone more understanding. And thus we remove the responsibility upon the hearer and put it back on the teacher or the pulpit. But, oh, don't blame them. Don't put the responsibility where it belongs. Jesus didn't say that to the rich young ruler. He didn't say, you know, you just need better understanding about my divinity. You just need a better understanding. He knew exactly where the problem lied, and it was in the will. I remember R.H. Harms, who helped train me, said that people are not taught into the kingdom, they're born again into the kingdom. And it's by the foolishness of preaching. Now, that doesn't mean I haven't led people to the Lord and I wasn't preaching to them. Yeah, I stand to the EU in order to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and surrender. I'm not saying that you can't get saved without preaching. But Paul is emphasizing there's something about preaching that confronts the rebellious will. We're teaching in a tender way. It may, but it is by the foolishness of preaching. And I'm not putting down teaching. It's needed. But if we think where the problem lies within many rebellious people, it's if they just had more understanding, if they just, you know, and that's what the world says, that's what the psychologist says, and they never want to address the sinful nature of the will. In John 1:10, it says he was in the world, or St. John, the gospel, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Why? And this is answered. There are two categories. One is a willful ignorance, and the other is an unwillful ignorance. Now, God will deal with each ignorance in a different way. I want you to turn to Luke chapter 12, verse 47, because this, I believe, addresses it to some degree. It says in Luke, a very interesting passage, Luke chapter 12, and let's pick up where Jesus said, starting at verse 42. Who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and men maid servants, and to eat and drink, and to be drunken. Then the Lord of the servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him asunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant, which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given. We often hear that to whom much is given, much shall be required. But what is in the context of what is given? Understanding and knowledge. For unto whom much is given, of him shall be much required. You say, well, this is dealing with eternity. That's true. But I also believe it can deal with the here and now. One might say that Mary and Joseph did suffer a few stripes. I wouldn't call it the wrath of God, but they did suffer a little bit. Can you imagine if Mary and Joseph would have had their child today and the authorities would have found out that the child was gone? Some of these knuckleheads would have taken that child away from them. And such is the case, unfortunately. By the way, keep praying for Charlie and his daughter. They're still battling to get that daughter back. In fact, a wonderful miracle happened. The daughter, she was sharing with someone she was working for. She was out working in the field, and the woman who had hired her noticed that she was crying. And she asked her, "What are you crying about?" And she shared with her, "My daughter was taken from me," and she got to know her, and what can I do to help? And Christy did not say this with the intention, knowing the woman would do what she did, but the woman found out what the girl needed, and she wrote out a $5,000 check and said, "Here, this will acquire the proper man to help you get your child back." And so this man has been really shaking the tree and working in the direction to get him back. But I say that Mary and Joseph, they suffered. And there are a lot of things that we will suffer for lack of knowledge. But it's one thing to suffer when you don't know, but it's another thing to suffer when you could have known, but because the will was not surrendered and it was hard and I don't want to hear it, then he says they're beaten with many stripes. May I walk in the light that I have. So I continually check my will and I check the light that I have that I be walking in it. Yes, we also don't know many things like Mary and Joseph. It's a different kind of ignorance. It's not a ignorance that's a result of a bad will. Many of us may be suffering and sorrowing from things we don't know and we don't understand. I'm sure Abraham wondered why no child after all these years. I'm sure Joseph had questions. Why is this happening to me from the pit to the prison to the palace until he saw his brothers show up and then the understanding came and the healing came. I'm sure Elijah had questions. Lord, why am I here by this little brook? I'm a prophet of God. Couldn't you use me somewhere else? But the Lord had him stay by that little brook, and all he could do was watch that brook go down little by little, but he was in the will of God. I'm sure Jeremiah wondered, why am I in this prison? I am your prophet. Why am I in this prison? And his word was like fire shot up in my bones. And he got to where he was hurting. He said, I will not mention his name anymore. That's suffering. I'm sure that John the Baptist had an unwilling ignorance when he was in jail, and where the doubt and the depression began to press upon him, where he asked his servants or his disciples to go ask Jesus, art thou he that should come? Or do we look for another? That would be a terrible place to be in. His will was good, but he was suffering from something he did not understand, and the Lord ministered to him and helped him. I was speaking to Brother Kincaid. His wife said to her husband, how come the Lord uses you and you go out and many people are healed, but I'm not healed? And Brother Skip said, I told Delilah, I don't know. And all of us are going to have times where we perhaps suffer and we don't know. There's a lot I don't know. And some of that has within it things that can cause hurt. And that's why I keep my will right and I keep my believing right. I keep believing. I keep trusting and I keep my will. My Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Would you stand with me? And so I want to encourage you, if you have been suffering and having things that you don't know why, may you be encouraged. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Oh God, may we not be guilty of an ignorance that is willing. But may we, if we do, and many are those that do suffer from a ignorance, or maybe that's the wrong word to use, but a lack of understanding, and we don't know why. Oh God, as the prophet Habakkuk said, though the stalls are empty, yet will I trust him. Lord, help your people to trust him. And what we've learned in the light, may we remember when we're in the darkness. Bless your people again this morning as I ask you to bless them. I pray you bless them with a surrendered will. And I pray you bless them with faith. And may both of them join together and may we soar into the heavens. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.